Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
We're talking about a meaningful life, and I want my life to be meaningful. I want my life to leave legacy. I want my moments and times on this earth to be about other people, not just my own life. And that's a deep desire of mine, and I think a conviction that comes as you spend time with Jesus. The more you love God, the more you'll love other people. The more you spend time with God, the more you can't help but love people. And a meaningful life is really a generous life. Or a generous life is the meaningful life. A life that lives to give out, to actually be about others, is where you find meaning and purpose. We're not created to hold on to things. We're not created to keep things for ourselves. God has put within us this nature that reflects His nature. The Bible says that we are made in the image of God. And God is a giving God. He's a creating God. And He creates through His generosity and through His giving and His life for us. And we are all recipients of that incredible generosity. And in fact, the greatest generosity He ever gave us was His Son, Jesus. In John 3:16, it says, actually, I'm going to read from John 3:16 to 17. The guys have only got 16, but it's actually not that hard to find. But John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order the world might be saved through Him." God has not come to condemn. He's not come to point the finger. He came to give love. His solution, I love this, His solution to the world's problems, right? Is anyone a parent here? Okay. How annoying is it when you like make your kids clean their room and help that you clean the lounge room and you go out and maybe it's not this for people with older kids. I don't know. I'm not there yet. But for me in my stage of life and context, it's like I go outside, I turn around and it's just like a bomb's gone off. It's like, didn't we just do this like 3 minutes ago? And I imagine that what's what God must feel about us. It's like, whoa, I went out to get some milk and you're like killing each other and doing this. And my solution is to sit the kids down and say, right, get back in there and clean the room before mum gets home and realizes what a dysfunctional dad I am. I need you to pull your weight, children, right? But God's solution was to love. He sent love into the world. And so pervasive and powerful was this love, is that this love transforms the heart so much that suddenly you want to be about the same purpose of bringing love that transforms the world. And that's what a generous heart is someone that is in touch with God. We are like conductors of God. It's like when there are things that are conductors of electricity. My brother's an electrician and he electrocutes himself regularly. I feel like if you're an electrician, you kind of should understand what things conduct electricity. But anyway, but there are things that conduct electricity and we are meant to be like that. We are meant to be conductors, not insulators, but conductors of God. And as soon as we live lives that hold back, we become insulators of the love of God. So much so that you begin to stop even feeling the love of God and you can come to church and kind of think, where is God? But I would ask you, are you living on purpose? Are you living a meaningful life, a generous life? Because if you want to experience and receive God's grace in your life, you need to be someone who is about giving that grace and love out. We are called to be a conductor of God's love. And so Jesus, even for His disciples, when He's setting up His disciples, He begins to bring them along on a partnership. And He says, this is what you're going to be doing. He says in Matthew 10:8, He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy. Any lepers here today? Cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. That's his mission. Give as freely as you've received. I'm calling you into a partnership with me, and it's a partnership of reflecting my generous love. And I want you to give it out as freely as you receive it. And as long as you do that, we're in partnership. We're in alignment. There's a story in the Bible, a letter in the New Testament written by Paul to a guy called Philemon. And if you were to write what the theme of the letter is, you could put on the top of your Bible, partnership. He uses the Greek word that can also mean fellowship, but for the context of this letter, it would be better to be talked about as partnership. And what he's doing is he's commending a young man named Philemon who started this house church in Colossae, and it's going off and it's pretty radical. And at one point in time, he had this slave, a servant of his, which was quite normal back in the New Testament, the complete gospel of truth and freedom that came to people wouldn't come for another 1,000 years or so in terms of the eradication of slavery. And so to have a slave and a servant back then was as simple as having a car or a TV. It was pretty normal. And this guy had this, and this servant, and he had run away. And when he had run away, he'd ended up meeting Paul. And his name was Onesimus, and he met Paul, and he'd been converted. And now Paul is writing back to Philemon, preparing him to receive Onesimus back into his family. And this is going to require a letter that reminds Philemon of the partnership that he has of generosity. And so we'll take it up in verse 4. It says this. It says, I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and how you love and your love for all of God's people. He's kind of setting him up. Verse 6, and I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. A generous heart is someone who is in touch, has got a revelation of all the good things we've received from Jesus. And he's saying, I can see, and I'm reminding you of the incredible generous man you are. You're such a good guy. You're partnering with me in this. You're doing really good at reflecting God's love. That's what we're called to do, live as light and salt in the world. You're amazing at it. Now, by the way, he says, your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brothers, for your kindness has often refreshed the heart of God's people. Actually, Philemon actually means kind or friendly. So he's reminding him of, essentially, of who he is and who we are when we come to Christ. He says, but by the way, I appeal to you now to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Philemon, how genuine is your partnership with me? I can see you're so kind to the people of God. I can see you're so generous with the people that come into your home. But by the way, I'm going to send you back that guy that ripped you off. And I want you to show him the same kindness that you've shown others that refreshes others. It's a sad day when you meet a Christian who isn't kind. And I get it, we all have our bad days. I'm not talking about being perfect. But at the core of them, there's something unkind. There's the way they pick at things and write up blogs about things and storm with their kind of self-righteous position in life, and it just oozes unkindness, and it's so damaging to the gospel because it completely what's the word I'm looking for? Contrary. Thank you, Pastor Mark. It's contrary to the message of the gospel. For us to say that we are believers is for us to partner in the generous love of God, and that looks like kindness, people. That looks like love. That looks like you say, I love you to people. Dads, tell your kids you love them. I know they know, but tell them. Tell your wife you love her. Wives, tell your husband you love him. I know he's an idiot sometimes. We're a bit slow. But build us up. Encourage. Be generous in encouragement with one another. Put courage into people. Put hope into people's world. It's going to be fine. Give them assurance that you're there with them. Be generous and overflowing in your words. There's a psychologist that did research into relationship health, and he said that there were two things that were consistent in relationships that lasted 10, 20, 30 years. He said it was that they stayed generous in their words and in their forgiveness, in kindness and in forgiveness. Let's stay kind. Let's stay sweet-spirited. Let's be generous in this area of our lives and reflect God's generous kindness to us. It's the kindness of God that leads people to change their mind and to start to live for Him. Thank you, Lord. Where am I up to? 11. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past. It's funny because his name actually means useful, which I think is hilarious. But now he is very useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you. And with him comes my own heart. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave. This is the beginning of God eradicating slavery from the planet. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, equal, one, especially to me. Now he'll mean much more to you, both as a man, not a slave, as a man and a brother in the Lord. He asks him to completely change his mind about who this man is, and that requires mercy, that requires forgiveness, that requires grace, that requires a great, generous amount of mercy. And we need to be people of mercy. We need to be people that can receive all sorts of people into our location. I have such a heart that we're going to see so many people come to Christ. I feel like we are stepping into a new day, a new era of seeing so many people receive Jesus, that they would know Jesus. And not just know of him or know him of him in a religious sense, but have a deep revelation that goes so deep it transforms the core of their world system, their values, the way they live. But to do that means we're going to see so many people far from Jesus come here. And they're not going to align with your worldview. They're going to believe things that are very different to what you believe. That they're going to have opinions about things and the way we do things, and they're going to ask you questions about why we do this and why we do that. And we have a choice in that moment to be judgmental and try and bring them to the truth of the matter. Or we can afford them mercy and grace and realize that everyone is on a journey and that we're going to be generous in love and mercy, and we're going to let people do the journey. Because here's the reality. Let me just take, some of you have so much. Yeah, you can praise God if you want to. That's fine. Some of us carry a weight in our life when we see things in the world that are contrary. We see laws being passed and we get all kind of uppity about it. And oh no, the society and fabric of our nation is changing. Guess what? We're in a fallen world. And you will feel the pressure and the anxiety on your shoulders to hold the line. But guess what? There's only one judge in this world. His name is God. And he's a really just judge. Because he judges knowing the person's heart. And he sees things that we don't see. So what we're required to do is to actually live with love and to walk alongside people. It doesn't mean we change our convictions. It doesn't mean we change what we believe. It doesn't mean we change what we stand for, but we reach out in love and we include people and let them do the dirt joining. Because if we will do that, God's mercy is what changes people's hearts. It's the Holy Spirit speaking on the inside of people, allowing them to wrestle with truth, allowing them to do the journey, and for us to be willing to do that journey with one another. I believe the Bible says this, right? It says, if you are faithful with a little, I'll give you much. I think if we get more faithful with the way we treat people, God will give us more people to look after. Let's be a congregation that is generous in mercy, generous in love. And then, he's a bit more cheeky. He goes, so, if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Right there is like the brilliant, most brilliant piece of leadership I've ever seen. That was just amazing.
Yes, I'll help you, but I won't. I'll do it for you, but not to mention all the things I've done for you.
And so what Philemon would have probably done there is went, don't worry, Paul, I got it. I'll pay for it. God's calling us to be generous in generosity. Generous, yeah, in our giving, absolutely, but also in our time, our energy. In fact, that's probably more important. Generous in aligning our hearts to the purpose of what God wants to do in this world. And giving and generosity, it's not a requirement, as Pastor Nick was saying. It's not a requirement. You see, it's about an alignment of heart. Generosity comes from alignment. It's not this requirement that you're required to be generous as a Christian. No, when you fully understand what you've received from God, you can't help but get aligned with His heart and His purpose. And out of that flows generosity. So tithing, it's not a requirement. It's an overflow of alignment. It's a conviction to we believe what we believe. We believe that God is a generous, loving God and that we're called to live out that generosity. Tithing was set up as a reflection of love. It was a response, of love. It was Abraham and Jacob, and they were so overwhelmed by the goodness of God, they said, God, I'll give you a tenth of all I own. It was a response of love and gratitude, thankfulness. But ultimately, it's there to cultivate and keep cultivating that personal culture of generosity. Because if you're giving without the other side of it, without the generous heart, that thing can disappear. And it's just a religious act. But when you live a generous life, you can't help but give. So Jesus says to the Pharisees, he said, where am I? He did say something. Here it is. Luke 11:42, what sorrow awaits you Pharisees, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb garden, but you ignore justice and love and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Tithing is about a reflection of your internal conviction. It's about that you love God and love other people and you're all about His purpose in this world. So of course you've got no issues with tithing because it's an overflow response. It's the same reason we have love offerings. Listen, yes, we give in this church. We talk about money in this church. And we have love offerings when people, because we love people. It's a sign of gratitude. That's our conviction. It's an alignment to our personal convictions. The same with vision buildings and our offerings. We believe in a purpose. We believe in reaching a city. And we can't do that with prayer alone. We need people to resource. We need to resource it together. And it's an overflow of our conviction. Generosity should not be seen as this requirement of you, but rather come as an alignment as you realize what you have in God and how great it is to live as a generous person. And the thing that stops that is fear. It's this place you get into as you pull back from generosity. You come under this false belief that there's only enough for you. And so you used to serve on team, but then you realize you're a busy person and there's really only enough time for you. And you used to have people over in your house and share a meal with them and love them after church and connect with them and spend time with them, but then you realize you got busy and now there's only enough for you. And you used to give and give a tenth and do all that, and then things got a bit tough, and so you decided that there's probably only enough for you. And you've allowed fear to actually control and dictate the level of your generosity. But God wants to break that thing because it's the wrong perception. There's always more than enough. I want us to do something here, and if you have a respiratory issue or asthma, maybe don't do this, but I want you to just hold yourself for a second. It's nice. Give yourself a nice little squeeze. And if I see you not doing it, I'm going to actually point you out from the stage and make you come do it up on the stage. Ah, you see, I'm such a great pastor. Okay. And then I want you to lean forward a little bit. Get real tight. Like you might want, if you're real flexible, you can just go ahead and make yourself a little ball. Right? And this is you and your family or your friends. This is your life, right? This is you and those closest to you. And now I want you to try and breathe. Breathe real deep. And for some of you, that's how you're feeling in your life. You're trying to hold everything together. You're just trying to hold the family together. You're trying to hold the finances together. You're trying to, you can't do that. No, we can't. We can't come to church every week because we got to go to Nippers as well. So hold on, people. Just make that Nippers just had a little bit of a squeeze just there. Oh, soccer practice, here it comes. Squeeze a little more. And you don't have time for anything else. So just keep breathing in. And meanwhile, you're suffocating the family around you because you were never meant to hold your life like this. The Bible says whoever holds on to his life will lose it, but whoever lets go, now everyone just let go, stretch your hands out and take a big breath. Whoever lets go will find it. You were created to be generous, people. You weren't created to look after you and your stuff. You were created to let God's love flow into your life and flow out. You're created to let God's peace flow into your life and flow out. And God has more than enough for you because the devil will tell you that he only has a limited amount, that what you've got to hold onto and squeeze onto, and you can't let go, and you can't serve, and you can't get involved. But let me tell you right now, God gives seed to the sower. Not just financially. I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about time. I'm not talking about being unwise and burning out. I'm going on break, people. And I'm not answering any of your phone calls. You can call Richard Forsyth. Of course you need to rest. But there's a difference between rest and actually stepping out of your purpose. And as soon as you hold on to what's yours and step back at the cost of the purpose that you're meant to live, you will find that your life starts to leak. Your relationships start to leak. Marriages are not meant to be lived just for themselves. It's not about the Australian dream of having a home and you and the wife. As soon as you do that, you'll look at each other after a while and go, man, you're pretty boring after a while. We've got to get bigger than this. Your marriage is meant to be aligned to something greater than you. As soon as you serve and love one another and the world around you and you live for a purpose that's greater than you, your marriage will come alive. Your friendships, single people, this is for you. Your friendships will come alive. Oh, but we love that little hangout time down at the pub afterwards. And you know, if someone else comes, it'll be a bit awkward. No, it won't. Get open. Feel it. Just do it again. Just do this. Oh, it feels good. It feels like we're meant to live. Open, big spirited, ready to love, ready to give, and ready to receive. Your intimacy with God will go to a whole new level when you get about His business. It's not that He stops loving you. It's that you turn away. But as soon as you get about His business, there it is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Before my daily bread, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your purpose on the earth, then you'll look after me. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. That's Bible. That's scripture. That's the way God has intended it from the beginning of time. And so there's this little woman in the Old Testament, and she's in the midst of a drought, and Elijah has been told by God to go to this woman because she's going to feed you. Now, he doesn't know that she's got this tiny little bit of oil and this tiny little bit of flour, and she's about to make her last meal for her and her son, and then she's going to die. That's her outlook on life. That's all I got left. There's nothing else. This is my last kind of thing, and some of you feel like you're on your last legs. This is it. But the prophet is coming. And it says he gets there and he tells her this, and she has faith. She actually says, okay. She goes for a little journey of questioning, but she says, okay, I'm going to do it. And then the story finishes like this. In 1 Kings and 17, it says, there was always enough flour and olive oil left over in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. God wants to break the spirit of fear of us. He is for you. He's not against you. He's with you. He's going to give you everything you need. And He wants to let generosity flow through your life. We are called into the society of meism to be agents of generosity, reflecting the generous sacrificial love of God. This is not a religious, tiresome task, because generous people are free, big, spirited, and joyful. A generous life is a meaningful life. Let's be generous. Today, we have step four. It's all about making a difference. You might have been here for 2 weeks or 20 years. Come to step four. Today, make a decision. I'm going to actually realign my life about giving. Not just financially. I mean giving on team. Getting on board. Being a part of what we're about. Having the vision that maybe I could be on the welcome team. You go, I've been on the welcome team. It wasn't that great. Well, maybe it will be great if you come with a vision in your heart that you're going to come and make someone feel so welcomed when they come in here, that you're going to reflect the love of God so directly into their heart that even before they come into church, they've already decided they're ready. Get a vision. You can change someone's life just by being on our welcome team. Let's be a team that works together to reflect out His generous love. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your presence and Your word. I pray that today we would receive it with gratitude, we'd receive it with joy, and that God, we see breakthrough in our own lives.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.